meaningless to us, but by your Spirit it can speak truth to our hearts, and it can show us who you are as our Savior, our Lord, our Father, and our Redeemer. We thank you for this opportunity, and we continue to plead for strength. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn together to Luke 15. Luke chapter 15, reading verses 11 through 32. Luke chapter 15. Before we start reading the text, I'm just going to read a few verses from the beginning of the chapter. Luke 15, 1. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him, and the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled against him, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. Then we turn to verse 11, our text. Luke 15, verse 11. And he said, "There is a man who had two sons. And the younger of them said to the father, 'Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me.' And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into the field to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long ways off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has received him back safe and sound.' But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him. But he answered his father, 'Look, these many years I have served you, and I never disobeyed your command. Yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him.' And he said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found.'" Thus far, the reading of God's Word. Brothers and sisters in Christ, finding something that is lost is a job that is both straining and exhilarating, like searching for a lost treasure. The more precious the thing that is lost, the more diligently you search for it. And after you find it, you will be filled with great joy. In our text for today, our Father calls his straying sons home. We will look at the first son and the second son. Our finding father calls his straying sons home. Now, this parable has often been called the parable of the prodigal or the wasteful son. But perhaps a better name for this parable would be the parable of the finding father. Now, whenever we look at parables, we remember that parables usually focus on one main point. Surprising events in the story happen right around the main emphasis. Now, this parable was actually the third part of a three-part series. In the first few verses of this chapter, as we read, tax collectors and sinners were gathering around Jesus. The Pharisees and scribes were grumbling about this fact. They were murmuring. And in response to this Pharisee's indignation, in verse 3, it says, Jesus tells the following parable, singular. So all three stories in Luke 15 are actually part of one parable that Jesus told in response to the resentment of the Pharisees. Since this parable is part of a three-part series, the main idea in this parable has to be in line with the first two parables that we read in this chapter. Now in verse 11, we read that this man, there was a certain man who had two sons. This story is about both sons, not just the prodigal one. This man had two sons, and the younger one asked his father to share the property that was coming to him. This was no small or slight request. To ask inheritance of your father while your father was still alive was basically like saying, Father, I wish you were dead, because if you were dead, I would get what I wanted. It would be better off for me for you to be dead and me to receive my portion. Fathers, can you imagine your own son, your flesh and blood, saying this to you? This younger son was concerned with his own desires. He forsook his family and he severed all family ties. This son dishonored his father and he shrugged off all family responsibilities. To the son, the father and the family were worthless. But the real shocker here is that the father agrees to his son's request. Instead of disbanding and disowning the son, saying, depart from me, you wicked son, he breaks up his land and property, and he gives in to his son's request. The request alone would bring great shame upon this house. But to actually agree to this outlandish request is to bring further shame upon your house. Not only do you have an ungrateful son who thinks his father should be better dead, now you have an ungrateful son that has 33% of all the family worth. This was never done in this culture. The father then would separate the property into three sections. The older son would get two parts, and the youngest son would get the last third. Now, property in the Old Testament had a significant importance. Property was not just a piece of land like today, where if your father is wealthy, you get more land and then the sons get more that way. No, it was passed on from generation to generation. Property held the promise that this land belongs to God and not to the Gentiles. To have property in the son's name may not have been that significant, but his son decides to liquidate this property and turn it into quick cash. 13, not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into the far country, and there he squandered his property in reckless living. This family was now in danger of losing a portion of the heritage that the Lord had given to them. This father had to raise his family on 33% less land. The son is causing major devastation. Instead of taking care of his father in his father's old age, the son abandons his family and he takes a journey into the far country. Now, the far country would be Gentile land, and there he squanders all of his possessions. First, the money and land that was in Israel that belonged to the covenant people was now liquidated, and that money was taken into the Gentile land and squandered. Everything that this son had was given over to the Gentiles. Now, after he had spent all of his money and his friends conveniently disappear, a great famine arose in that country. The kindness of others was hindered by their own lack of food. So this younger son is forced to hire himself out and work for a pig farmer. Verse 15. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into the field to feed pigs. Now, today we have pigs all over the place. But in this time, to go out and work with pigs was no small thing. Israel was prohibited from eating pork or having any contact with those who did. Being a pig farmer was lowering yourself to the scum of the earth for a Jew. If you ate pork, you were unclean. If you touched a pig, you were unclean. It made you unclean. Doing this despicable thing still left him with an empty stomach. He was wasting away. He longed to be in the situation of the pigs who were filling their belly with these black pods. Yet no one gave him anything. And the hunger in his stomach caused him to remember how good things used to be. It caused him to think of home. And in verse 17, he comes to his senses. 17, when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread? But I perish here with hunger." Now, commentaries have a whole lot to say on verse 17. Does verse 17 mean that the son has a change in heart? Is this true conversion? Is it regeneration? Is he truly sorry for his sins, or is he just making up this story so he can get back home? But we have to keep in mind the focus of this story. Yes, his stomach was hungry. That hunger causes him to think of home and remembers how good it used to be. He knows that he has sinned, but he does not see himself as a son. He still sees himself as a servant, a slave of his father. If we look at all three stories, all three parables that we find in this text, or in this chapter, all three stories focus on what? Well, if we look back, we have the parable of the lost sheep. Well, what does that focus on? What's the point? Well, how about the parable of the lost coin? See, the subheadings in this aren't very helpful. It's actually the parable of the faithful shepherd, or the parable of the persistent woman who keeps sweeping until she finds the coin, or the parable of the prodigal son. No, it's the parable of the finding father. The sheep does not come home by himself. The coin does not hop up off the floor onto the table. No, and the focus is the same here. The hunger of the son drives the son home, yes, but not as a son, as a slave. The point is not about one who went away and decided to come back home, making everything all right. No, the point is that the son is lost. He was led home back by his hungry stomach, but he is not a son. He saw himself as a slave. The younger brother cannot make himself a son. He is still in a hopeless situation. He does not belong to his father's family. The story here, it tells us why he goes back. He goes back, what do we see in 18 and 19? "I will arise and go to my brother, my father. I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants.'" That's what he wanted. That's what he saw. The whole point of this story is found in 20 through 22. "And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him." In 22, "But the father said to his servants, 'Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his finger and shoes on his feet.'" It's not about what the son does. It's not about what the sheep did or the coin did. Rather, it's on the faithful shepherd or the woman, and hear what the father does. All three have the same point, that the one who was lost is lost until someone comes to them and finds them and brings them back into the fold. There can't be two contrary focuses in these parables. It cannot be, well, we have a finding shepherd, and then we have a faithful woman, and, well, we have a prodigal son who makes his way back into the family. No, it's the same line, the same focus here. It's about a father who finds a son. The only way that this father could see his son coming would be if this father was looking diligently down the road. When is my son going to return? What do we find in 20? "While he was still a long way off." How could that be unless he was diligently searching day after day? When is my son going to return? He was looking down the road and he saw him when he was still a long way off. It's not like he's busy in the field and, oh, hi, how'd you get here? No, he is looking, searching diligently, waiting for his son. And once he saw his son, he was filled with compassion. The father is the one who runs up to the son, embraces him, and kisses him. The father runs, a disgraceful thing for older men to do. And he puts on the best robe around this son. And he puts the family ring on his finger. And he puts shoes on his feet. Servants don't wear shoes. Only sons do. The father did all of these things, showing his son that you are my son, not a servant, not a slave. The son's deepest need was not food for the belly. It was in regaining sonship. It was becoming a member of the family again. And that's exactly what the father brought. The son came looking for food, but the father saw the deeper need to welcome this son as part of the family. And this is exactly what Jesus Christ does for believers. He welcomes them as part of the family. He searches until he finds those who are lost. Jesus knows our deepest needs, and he searches until he finds. He restores communion. Yes, it is important that we, like this son, see and repent from our sins. We have sinned, but the focus in this is that God searches for and finds his children and brings them back into the family. This is what Jesus was doing with the tax collectors and sinners. He was bringing them, showing them that they too belong to the family of God. And that's what made the scribes and Pharisees so angry. They knew exactly what was going on. Now this story, as we remember from verse 11, is not just about the first son. Both sons had strayed from the father. They both needed to be found. The younger son was lost, was dead, and is alive again. Verse 24. This is my son, was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. But the older son thought he was always home. But when the older son finds out that this younger son had returned, he was indignant. And he rejected this. 28, but he was angry and refused to go in. And his father came out and entreated him. This is similar to what the scribes and the Pharisees were doing. They were rejecting the sinners that Jesus was associating with. Jesus was rejoicing with these sinners, that these sinners were repenting. They were becoming children of God. Yet the scribes and the Pharisees were angry at this action. In our parable, the older son refuses to fellowship with this brother who had returned home. He refused to rejoice with the rest of the family. Now, when I was in seminary, I traveled all over the place and filled many pulpits. I have often seen new believers, people who are new to the faith. They don't yet know the Christian lingo. They stand out like a sore thumb in the congregation. Yet, how do we treat these new believers? Some of these newly found children are poor. Others are social outcasts like this dirty son who was a pig farmer. How do we react to these new Christians? Do we reject them? Do we stand far off? Do we wait until the Father comes to us to persuade us to come in and rejoice with these children of God? Or are we the first ones to run up to our brothers and sisters in Christ and embrace them? Are we the first ones to rejoice and say, "Welcome back into the fold. Welcome where you belong, son or daughter of God." Now, since the older son refused to come to the party, the father goes out and persuades him to come in. The father had just welcomed the lost son, the younger son, back. The father was searching until he found, and he brought that son back. Now, the older son is showing exactly who he is. And the father goes out to the older son and entreats him, searches him, inquires of him, "Please come back." You see, both both sons did not have the heart of their father, did not have the love that was expressed. The older brother only wanted to get something out of this deal, something out of this family relationship. He saw himself as a slave to his father, the very same thing that the younger son confessed. The older son still did not understand. He saw his brother as competition, as being an outsider. He did not recognize his brother. He saw him as a son of his father and not his own brother. Verse 30. But when this son of yours came, instead of my brother, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him. The older son may have obeyed externally, but his heart was far from his father, just like the scribes and the Pharisees, who were externally righteous, but they never grasped God's love. They were whitewashed tombs, externally clean and good, but on the inside they were full of dead man's bones. It took the return of the younger son for the older son to show his true colors. Now the father could see clearly that neither son had his heart of love. While the love of the father overwhelms the younger son, now that same love is shown to the older son. The younger son repents and is welcomed into the family as a true son for the first time. The older son is now met with that same overwhelming flood of kindness. The father leaves the party and goes and searches for this elder son. He looks for the one who was always close to home, but far from him in heart. Our Lord expels time and energy looking for all who are lost. Jesus not only searches for sinners who are in foreign land and have wandered far away from the fold, but he searches for those who are close and yet do not understand the greatness of God's love. The father then goes on to plead with the older brother and try to encourage him to rejoice. 32. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He is lost and is found. It was fitting to rejoice. You should rejoice. When someone is straying and is brought into the fold, the response of the children of God must be to rejoice. The older son failed to see that we all need to be glad when someone is saved from destruction. The sinners, the tax collectors, they were fellowshipping with Christ. They were feasting with him. They were enjoying the blessings of being sons and daughters of God. Jesus Christ was worshiping, was fellowshipping and eating with these sinners. The Pharisees refused to join in. They had always been in the community of faith. They had all the external blessings of belonging to God's family. Yet, they also had to be called to faith and repentance. They also had to be sought after by Jesus Christ. In one sense, we are the first son. We are the one living in the foreign land. We are the one who Jesus calls home and embraces as a child. This is true of us because we are not born Jews. We are outsiders. We are Gentiles. We are the sinners outside of God's chosen race, grafted into the tree of Christ. And for this fact, we must rejoice. We must embrace with the hand of faith all that Christ has done for us. But in the second sense, we are like the second son, who always lived at home. Many of us were born in the covenant families. We experienced the blessings of being in God's external family since we were a child. For this fact, we must rejoice when others are brought into the fold. It's interesting that at the end of this parable, we don't find out what the older son does. Does he repent and return home? Does he rejoice that his younger son has been found? We don't know. And that question comes to us today. If we do not rejoice when others are brought into the fold, we are like an older brother who rejects the love of his father. But if we rejoice, we are welcomed home as true sons of God. From the rest of the book of Luke, we find out exactly what the Pharisees do. They reject the offer of grace and love from Christ Jesus. The younger son was the only true son in this part of history. Will the same be true today? Will we reject the call to faith and repentance extended by our Lord? Or will we turn from our sin? Will we embrace the love of our Father and our brother or sister in Christ? This parable is about our finding Father and his straying sons. This story ends with a feast where all are welcomed. Our Lord calls us home, and we must answer that call by the aid of the Holy Spirit. Our finding Father calls his straying sons home. And to home we must go by the strength of the Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for giving us this opportunity to read this parable that you have brought to us, and the great hope and confidence that it gives to us, that we have a finding Father in Jesus Christ our Lord, who is faithful and calls all of his sheep to the fold. We pray that we may, by your Spirit, be worked in our hearts, so that we may be given the ability to have faith and to repent from our sins, and to also rejoice when we see our brothers and sisters coming to faith. We thank you for your word, and we thank you for giving us this text where we can learn how our Lord Jesus Christ continues to seek for those who are lost. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand to sing Psalter Hymnal.